Now this morning we want to turn to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. We will read two passages of scripture this morning. We first of all read Psalm 42. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Amen. Now we want to read 2 Corinthians as well, so let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. We read two verses, verses 5 to 7. These are the words of the great Apostle Paul, verse 5. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. Amen. Now in the morning worship, we are going through a series from the book of Job. And last week, we began a study on spiritual depression. We were puzzled by the response of Job in chapter 4. Job, of course, was reputed to be a godly person, upright and full of righteousness. But then in Job chapter 4, we realize that Job was frustrated. He poured his complaints to God. And he said, Cursed be the day that I was born. Now Job was not the only one who felt like that. Jeremiah the prophet in the Old Testament felt the same way. In fact, he used the very same words as Job. Cursed be the day that I was born. And I want to read you now the comments of John Calvin as he described the condition of Jeremiah. Cursed be the day that I was born. Now listen carefully to the comments of John Calvin. Jeremiah the prophet was carried away contrary to reason and judgment by turbulent emotions, which eventually led him to give utterance to vile blasphemies.
For a man must be in a state of despair when he curses the day in which he was born. When we do this, we are seized, as it were, with a sacrilegious madness. And yet into this poor state had the prophet fallen. Despair, blasphemous, madness. This happens also to Job. Depression and the Christian. So I want to move away from Job just for this Sunday and to hear from the Word of God speak to you about spiritual depression. Depression and the Christian. First of all, I want to bring out two cases from the Bible. Secondly, ask the question, why do Christians who have the joy of the Lord in their hearts also become depressed? Then thirdly, how then do we lift up a depressed Christian? Christians, brethren, do get depressed. Let me give you two cases. First of all, a case from the Old Testament. The case of the psalmist in Psalm 42. Listen to the words in verse 5 and 6. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Here the psalmist uses two words to describe his despair and depression. He uses the word cast down and disquieted. The word cast down, of course, tells us that he is under the weight of some heavy burden. It is as if there was a burden on his back that brings him down, so that the load is so heavy, he becomes completely depressed, cast down. He has no resources to hold up that burden, and therefore, he in a sense feels defeated and despairing, cast down. In addition to this, he used the word disquieted. In other words, in the words of Richard Sibbes, the old Puritan writer, the psalmist here feels that his peace is interrupted. His peace is gone. There is no rest, no quietness. Strikingly, Job said the very same thing in chapter 4 in the last verse. I have no rest. I have no quietness. There is a disquieted spirit within me. The peace is gone. Instead, he feels all kinds of confusion and chaos and turmoil. There is a storm that he feels inside him. Tumultuous storm. He feels lost. The peace is interrupted. These are words, brethren, that describe depression. Cast down with a burden, lost, stormy inside the heart, the peace is gone. Let me read you again the comments of another writer, Charles Spurgeon, on Psalm 42. He says this: this is the cry of a man that is removed from the worship of God. But at the same time, it is the voice of a spiritual believer under depression, struggling with doubts and with fears. He is cast down, disquieted. Verse 6, my soul is cast down. And in his frustration, he pours out his lostness and his despair to God. Why, O God, am I in such a condition? Now the second case is the great apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 5 to 7. Paul, of course, was a great apostle. He was busy traveling from place to place to do the work of the Lord, busy in the work of missions. But here he tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5, that he, together with his colleagues, were troubled on every side. Outside were fightings and violence and persecutions. Within were fears. And he has lost that encouragement. And verse 6 he says, But then you brought me comfort in the coming of Titus. So here he feels discouraged. He feels that he is not moving forward in the gospel ministry. And it was difficult for the Apostle Paul. He went into the synagogues to preach, and then they dragged him out into the open. And when he visited from home to home, they shut the door. They became very unruly, discourteous, as the Apostle brought the word of God to them. He felt troubled, lost, discouraged. These are factors contributing to stress and to depression. But then in the response of the Apostle Paul, you realize in verse 4, still in the midst of these struggles and discouragement, he says in verse 4, I am exceeding joyful in all this tribulation. Why? You brought me comfort. But still, there is discouragement and depression, longing for comfort to come. The case of the psalmist, the case of the apostle. We need to now ask a question. As we look at these cases and other cases, what types of depression does a Christian suffer? Let me state three things here. What kind of depression does a Christian suffer? First of all, not all Christians suffer from the condition of depression. But all Christians, nevertheless, suffer from the mood of depression. Now, psychologists are still asking the question, is depression a condition or is depression a mood? I like to distinguish the two. All Christians suffer the mood of depression. But not all Christians suffer the condition of depression. Now, what is the mood of depression? The mood of depression is a feeling of sadness in which the spirit becomes down, discouraged, and despairing for a moment. Now, we all have that kind of feeling and mood. Sometimes we feel joyful, sometimes we feel good. When, for example, we receive encouragement, we feel that we are doing very well in life. And when things are going along very well, we feel that life at the present moment is good. But then there are times when we do suffer. For example, recession. Maybe we lose our jobs, we have lost our occupations and careers. Or maybe we have lost a loved one. Or maybe we have lost a relationship. Or maybe suddenly, somehow we feel that we are not quite usual. We feel useless and defeated. This is a mood of depression. We feel sad, we feel down, and this is a very common experience. Now sometimes, when as Christian people we talk to others and we want to help them in their depression, we get affected by their mood. We may not be affected by the condition of their depression, but sometimes we get affected by their mood of depression. We talk to them, but they feel lousy inside, discouraged, and lost. And so we feel with that person, and we get affected sometimes to a certain degree. We also become sad and discouraged. Secondly, but some Christians also get affected by a deeper problem. The condition of depression. Now, what is the condition of depression? The condition of depression is a prolonged sadness, not just a moment of loss and sadness, but a prolonged sadness that cripples our thinking and our normal functioning. A prolonged sadness that cripples our thoughts so that we cannot think straight. And at the same time, cripples our normal functioning. We feel handicapped, we feel lost, emotionally we are not stable. Now when depression is conditioned, the mind no longer thinks rationally. The thinking becomes very distorted, very warped. Now let me give you one example. 2 weeks ago, again, this was the news that shocked the entire nation. a mother jumped to her death with two of her daughters, both of them very young. And she, of course, suffered depression because of her sickness. She had cancer. She did not know what to do with it, did not know how to cope with that sickness. And so she reasons inside herself and says, maybe I should not bother others. I should not burden my husband and my relatives and others. And so perhaps the best thing to do is to die. And since I have children, maybe I should also take them along with me and we die together so that we burden nobody. But then when we look at that situation and when we evaluate the whole case, of course we think that this is quite silly. But then you must understand that a depressed person does not think rationally. If you look at a case, you ask a question like, what is the rational reason for doing this? There is no rational reason. Because a depressed person thinks irrationally. His thinking is distorted. Sometimes a Christian feels like this. We had a case that we handled one time here in our churches where the sister's brother committed suicide after he came back from Australia, a professing Christian who attended another church. And we struggled with that because that challenges our theology. Can a Christian who professes God commit suicide? But then you must understand, in depression, a person does not think rationally. His thinking is distorted at that time and moment. In addition to the mood of depression and the condition of depression, a Christian also suffers from spiritual depression. Now, what is spiritual depression? By spiritual depression, we mean something additional to the mental and psychological anguish that a believer experiences. There's mental anguish, there's psychological despair, but here we're saying something much more. Spiritually, the person also becomes depressed. Spiritual depression is the condition in which a person feels being forsaken and deserted by God. Now that, of course, is how the psalmist dealt. Where is God? The enemy said to him. But of course he himself, right deep within him, feels the same way. Now where is God? Where is God's kindness? He says that, for example, in verse 9, why hast thou forgotten me? Where are you, O God, in this moment of lostness? Where are you? Why is it that I cannot feel your favor and your countenance and all your blessings? Why have you deserted me? And what is striking as we think about the cross of Jesus Christ, was that Christ himself also felt this desertion and being forsaken by God. Why have you forsaken me? Even our Lord Jesus Christ, when he took on human nature, felt that desertion. And what more, we Christian disciples, we do suffer that kind of depression. When we question God's presence and countenance, why is it I'm going through a period of spiritual dryness, as if I'm in the wilderness? Where is the Lord's blessings? The mood of depression, the condition of depression, and in addition to this, spiritual depression. Now, why are Christians depressed? And I'm sure this morning, as I ask this question and speak these words, I'm speaking to some of you. Because the mood of depression and sadness is a very common feeling and experience. But maybe some of you are bordering to fall into that condition of depression. What is the cause? What are the factors? Now, first of all, there are ordinary factors. For example, personality. The Puritans, when they write about depression, they like to use the word melancholy. And they describe depression
as a melancholic spirit. One of these writers who wrote about depression was William Bridge. And he put forth the case where certain people have certain personalities that can especially become very discouraged and depressed. And some people have this kind of personality where they are more prone to melancholy and sadness. Now Charles Spurgeon, that great preacher, admitted that in his own case, that he has this melancholic spirit. He is affected by sadness very easily. And so he had many bouts of depression in his ministry and life. Personality. And as I wrote this down in this sermon notes, I thought about my own condition, my own personality. Was there a time in which I fell into the condition of depression? Now, I must say that perhaps that can happen, but that, however, is not my personality. But I'm not saying here that I don't feel sad. Many times I do feel sad about many occasions, about many things in life. But there isn't a point in time, at least until now, where I've fallen into the condition of depression. Some of you may not even fall into the condition of depression at all in your life, but some may easily fall into it. Personality does play a part. But of course, the experience of sadness is very common. Another ordinary contributing cause is physical stress. Now, Paul felt that. He said he was pursued by troubles on every side. He was tired in his ministry. He needs someone to come to refresh his body and his soul. And Timothy, sent by the churches, went to minister to him. Exhaustion, fatigue, tiredness. All this can be contributing factors to depression. And of course, our sisters here in this congregation know that too. Because some mothers experience postnatal depression, where the change in the body and the change in circumstances can cause a person to be depressed and sad, and sometimes can remain for quite some time. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote a book called Spiritual Depression. And in a book we discussed a case where a pastor came to visit, to talk to him about his own condition. He was depressed, he could not preach, he could not teach, he could not function as a minister. And then he talked to the doctor, as they affectionately called him. And so Dr. Lloyd-Jones looked at his case, and after listening to him, he said, "Perhaps the best thing for you to do at this point in time is to take a holiday, to get a rest, and to rest your body so that you can be refreshed." And the minister did that and came back thanking the doctor for his advice. Sometimes physical stress and the changes in the environment and circumstances can cause us to be depressed. I was struck when I read the press about a certain dog that belonged to an actress who died of cancer. You remember the case of that famous Hong Kong actress and singer, Anita Mui? She died because of cancer. And after she died, about 2 weeks later, the dog died. The dog died. The dog that was very close to her died. Because she felt the loss of its master. Because the dog was there, caring for her, at the same time when she was going through that cancer and depression. You remember 9/11? After the dogs had gone up and down sniffing so many lost bodies, they reported that the dogs were also depressed. Changes in circumstances and physical life. Then there is, of course, ordinarily, the condition, the situation where psychologically we are affected by anxieties, uncertainties, we are unsure about the future. Jesus Christ spoke about that in Matthew chapter 6. Why do you worry about tomorrow? You cannot improve your life by thinking about tomorrow. And all these things, Jesus says, brings stress and anxieties upon your life. And all these are contributing factors. Common, ordinary contributing factors. But then to a Christian, to one who professes Christ, there are unique factors that can contribute to depression. And now I'm speaking about a Christian believer. In the life of a Christian, there are unique factors that can add to his depression. Guilt. First of all, the sense of guilt. A sense of having wronged God. And that guilty feeling is very common amongst many introspective Christians who constantly examine their lives but yet become so discouraged that they do not look at the cross of Jesus Christ. So that forgiveness, although it's a reality, by far removed in their mind and thoughts. Guilt can take away joy. Especially when the sin and the guilt arise from a conscious and repeated act of sin. Why am I doing this again so many times? God cannot forgive me so many times as I repeat this sin, and so guilt comes in. And all this, of course, can lead to tragedy when a person feels guilty. I remember the case of Reverend Hines in the Protestant Reformed Churches, and in a classroom lecture one time, our professors told us about the case of Reverend Hines. He was on his way to Iowa to preach. He had to drive for a long distance, many hours. And when he was driving, and of course, highway, you drive at very high speed. In a farming area, there was a boy who suddenly dashed out and ran across the road, and he could not stop in time, and so an accident happened, not deliberate, but it was an accident, and he knocked down that boy and he died. And he was so overcome by guilt that he could not preach and be a minister for years because he was too stunned and too guilty by that accident. And that can happen to some of us. The sense and the feeling of guilt. I have wronged God, and perhaps God cannot forgive my wrongs and my sins. Secondly, there is that question which sometimes, and many times in fact, a child of God asks. It is a question of the theodicy. Now that means the question of good and evil. How can God remain good in a world of evil? And that question many times bothers a Christian who is depressed. If there is a good God, why am I depressed? And that was the question precisely Job struggled. If God is good in his nature, if God has given me blessings in life, why is it that I have to suffer all this tragic loss in life? If God is good, why is there so much evil in life? And why do I have to go through this terminal sickness and illness? And if this question is not resolved, depression prolongs and the sadness goes on. Then for a Christian, there is also that unique cause factor of demonic attacks. Demonic attacks. And I raised a question last week. Satan came to visit Job with many troubles. Took away the servants, the children, and then caused his body to be sick with boils, so that he lost almost everything that he has worked for. And then in chapter 4, he suffered depression. He complained to God in frustrations. Job, very unusual in his behavior in chapter 4.
And the question I raised was that also something caused by the devil? So the devil came and visited him with depression. Now that is not all impossible. It is not impossible that the devil came to bring down his spirit. I'm inclined to think in chapter 4 that too was the work of the devil. Now sometimes that happens. We must not rule out demonic attacks in depression. Not all depressions are a result of demonic attacks, but we must never deny this possibility. Never deny the possibility. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Now 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the case of the Apostle Paul, verse 7. This, of course, is the case of Paul when he tells us he was suffering this pain on his body. Verse 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So, here Paul said that the cause of his buffeting and pain and distress was satanic. The messenger of Satan came to buffet him. Well, a Christian does suffer depression, and many of these causes are common and unique in us. But depression is not an ordinary experience. Now, what do I mean by that? Our normative Christian experience. By normative, I mean ordinary Christian experience. Our normative Christian experience should be a life of love and joy and peace. That is normative. Again, I want to read you the words of William Bridge, who wrote, as a Puritan, an excellent book on depression, A Lifting Up of the Downcast. And he said these words: "The saints and the people of God have no true reason for their discouragement, whatever their condition be." In other words, William Briggs here, the old Puritan, is saying, whatever your conditions are, depression, discouragement, you feel lost and despairing or distress, you have no good reason to feel that way. Because the normative Christian experience is love, joy, and peace. Depression, in other words, is an abnormal experience in every one of us. And we have to honestly say this. This is an abnormal experience. And what we need to do is to bring us back to the normative Christian experience. Now, of course, there are some in the modern church that says the normative Christian experience is when you are so filled with the Spirit that you begin to be very ecstatic in your spiritual experiences, and you speak with tongues and you see visions. That is normative from the book of Acts. But what is normative for every Christian really is the sense of love, the feeling of joy, and the experience of peace and rest. That is normative. Depression is abnormal. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And that is an important verse as we think about depression in our own lives. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. This is true of every Christian believer when he becomes a disciple of Jesus Christ. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. And here Paul tells us, when we become a Christian, the Holy Spirit pours out the love of Christ in our hearts and fills us with God's love. And that is the normative Christian experience. Depression, however, though abnormal, is necessary. It's necessary. Now here, of course, I need to clarify, lest you think that I'm saying that we should pursue depression. Not that we should pray for depression, but in this world that is so confused and chaotic, where sins
are found everywhere, depression is necessary. Let me give you two reasons. There is good about depression. God puts this affliction in the life of Christian believers not to hurt us, injure us, nor damage us. Certainly there must be good that come out of depression. Otherwise God would not give that experience to us. What is the good? First of all, it takes us away from the stress and the noise of life so that we can retreat to be alone. Of course, being alone sometimes can be dangerous. And that is when you shut yourself alone, you don't listen to the counsel of others. You can become very suicidal in your thoughts. But nevertheless, it is good for us to remove ourselves from all this stress and all this busyness and noise in life and to be alone. Sometimes we refuse to do that. We go on with our busyness. We frustrate our life with all kinds of stress. In addition, people put all kinds of demands upon us so that we have no time to rest. And here in Singapore, when it's a holiday, we spend a holiday going back to the office to work. Or we become so busy with other demands. And depression sometimes is good from this point of view. It takes us away, it withdraws us so that we are alone. And we can sit down and think about the realities of life. Why am I sad? The psalmist did that. He asked questions about life. The second good, depressions help us to realize that we have limitations. Now some of us are depressed is because we stretch ourselves beyond our limits and resources. And we find it very hard to say no. And a boss comes to us, can you go overseas? Yes. Would you like to take up this job? Yes. Can you handle this project? Yes. And then we stress our lives. And then we work on lesser priorities. And God is forgotten. And that leads us to spiritual depression. Now depression at least has this good. It makes us stop all that we are doing. And ask ourselves the honest question. Can I do this? Can I do that? Can I really handle this project? So for all these reasons, Christians are depressed. How then do you lift up a depressed person? I want now to come first of all to Psalm 42. We need to enter into self-examination as we think about our own depression. Self-examination is important. In depression, you have to deal with yourself. Once I told a person who was depressed to see a psychologist, and he said the very same thing to that person. Nobody can help you. You have to help yourself. Of course, he was speaking as a psychologist that was not a Christian. But from a human point of view, that is true. Nobody is able to help you in your depression. You have to help yourself. Others can only play a supportive role. Finally, it boils down to yourself. And this is why depression is so difficult to overcome. No one can help you except God. You have to turn to God. And sometimes in depression, we have no strength to turn to God. Self-examination. Looking at yourself honestly. Now what are we to look for in self-examination? We need to do what the psalmist did in Psalm 42. He looks at himself, he examines his life, and then he asks himself questions. What he did was important. He studied his own situation and personality and character. And this is what we need to do as we do self-examination. We need to study ourselves as a person and see why we are affected by the condition or the mood of depression. We need to study ourselves and then to look at the condition, why we are affected by the condition. Now this implies that we need to make a distinction. a very, very important distinction. And sometimes we do not even make this distinction as we counsel others, but it's very, very important. There is the self, there is the condition. The two are not the same. And we need to look at the self and to ask ourselves the question, who we are. What kind of personality do I have? It's very important that you do that. The self is really the personal makeup that is what and who you are. Your personality, your body, your soul, your spirit, your mind, your feeling, your desires, your affections, your thoughts. Now, in studying our own depression, we need to study our self and personality and our entire being totally. Now, let me read you Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones as he wrote about depression. A man should act to know himself. He's speaking about depression. I include in that that he should get to know himself physically as well as temperamentally and in all other respects. Again, because sometimes you, in your temperament, is more inclined to depression. We need to study ourselves and then to admonish ourselves besides examining ourselves. Again, I want to read you Lloyd-Jones. He says, I suggest that the main trouble in this whole matter of spiritual depression, the whole problem, in a sense is this, that we allow ourselves to talk to us instead of talking to ourselves. Now, what does he mean by this? Again, the distinction self and condition. We allow the condition to affect ourselves so that we let that condition in that self to talk to us and to influence us instead of we talking to the self and asking that self why is it that it is affected by all this condition. In other words, this condition does not have to happen in ourselves. We have to keep it at a distance. We have to keep it away. We have to protect that personality and the temperament and the self and the makeup. And this is why we mustn't let the self talk to us in depression. Rather, we should talk to the self. And this is precisely what the psalmist did in Psalm 42. Why are you cast down? Notice in verse 5, he's speaking to himself. Why are you in such a condition? Why are you feeling this way? Why is it that you don't sense God in your life? And this is what we need to do. We need to speak to our soul and self and challenge it. In the words of Richard Sibbes, chide yourself. Put a charge on yourself. Ask it the question. Why do you have to feel this way? You don't have to. Why are you not trusting God? Self-examination. Secondly, comfort from others. Comfort from others. Paul recognized that he needed that. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 5 to 7, he acknowledges the help that he received from Titus and the church. I thank you for the comfort that you have brought to me. Because in my troubles on every side, fears within and then fightings without, you have come to visit me with comfort. I want you to notice something about those that came to comfort Paul. The church sent Titus. And notice that in verse 6, Paul said this about the church. Nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you when he told us your earnest desire, your mournings, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. The church did not just send someone to bring comfort to Paul. Paul said, you felt the same thing in your life. You felt that mourning. You felt that lost at the same time when I was going through all these troubles. And that is what we must do as we comfort others. We must feel with that person to understand his feelings as we bring him comfort. Now, Paul's case here is quite different from the case of Job. You remember the case of Job last week? His friends came. They saw Job at a distance. They changed their clothing. They sat down with him. They said nothing. Of course, silence at that point was very helpful. Because when Job's friends began to talk, they said all the wrong things. Silence, feeling with that person is very important. But they did not know what to say. They kept silent. They could only feel with Job in that loss. But here, Titus and the church was different. When they went to visit Paul with comfort, they went there with words. Words to speak to him, words to encourage him. And this is what God does in our life. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 4. God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now, God gives us experiences in life. He gives us comfort in afflictions for this purpose, so that we, with our own unique experiences, may go to others with comfort. So comfort others. And that you lift up a person in depression. Lastly, the way really to help a person in depression is to take him to the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, Charles Spurgeon, in one of his diaries, he wrote this concerning his depression. And I thought it was striking, so I want to read this to you. This is from his diary. "The devil came to me and said, 'You are not a saint.'" So that was how he felt in his depression. The devil came to him with all these problems. "Spurgeon, you are not a saint." Then he replied, he wrote, "If I am not a saint, then I am a sinner. If I am a sinner, then Jesus Christ died for me. He gave his life for sinners to save them. I may not be a saint, but I am a sinner that Jesus saved." And that is why for you, when you are depressed or discouraged, you must always go to the cross of Jesus Christ. You may not sense the love of God. You may not sense His favor. You may be overcome by grief and loss and distress. But then if you know that Christ died for sinners, and Christ bore the darkness of hell, and He died for those who suffered anguish, then you can also know that Christ died for you. And this is important. You must bring Christ to the person in his depression, the cross of Jesus Christ. I want to close by reading the experience of another child of God, because I started with the experience of some child of God, the psalmist in the Old Testament, and then the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. In closing, I want to read to you the experience of another prophet Habakkuk. So if you turn to Habakkuk with me, I want to read this to you. Habakkuk is after Nahum. Nahum, Habakkuk. Alright, chapter 3. And here, the psalmist, the prophet, raised many questions about God's goodness. He was also lost for a period of time. And he said this in closing, verse 17. "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stores, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will help, He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon my high places.
Amen. In its lostness, dryness, wilderness, he found joy in God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray that you will encourage those who are sad this morning, those who are affected by moods of depression, or those perhaps who are even suffering the condition of depression. Oh God, we live such busy lives here in the city that many times we are drawn away from your goodness. Oh God, settle us with your peace and grant us the experience of love and joy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.